Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Ann Ortley, and I'm broadcasting live bright and early this morning from Ann Arbor, Michigan, where I'm in my hotel room in my jammies, and I'm attending the Great Lake Astrology Conference, which I present at in about an hour and a half, 2 hours, 11:15, and then I fly home tonight, and so we're broadcasting early. So, because I'm on an airplane when I'm normally broadcasting. So this is the broadcast for the week of May 7th, 2017. We have a rocking and rolling week ahead of us. We have had rocking and rolling weeks for a while. And we're going to talk to you about what to do with the energy this week, because it's kind of profound. Now, the key to remember is that we still have up in the sky, and there's a term, I always love coming to astrology conferences because you remember things you forgot. And there's this wonderful term called besieged. And what that means is a planet is living between two other planets. And those other planets aren't particularly nice planets. So this week we have Mercury, our lovely little planet of communication. And he is besieged by Eris and Uranus, which means he's trapped between the two of them. Now, last week, Mercury stationed to go direct, but he was besieged last week, too. And this week, he's besieged, and he goes forward in his little inimitable fashion, because Mercury's our fast-moving guy. And he moves forward, and he goes across Uranus one more time. He's gone across Uranus three times during this Mercury retrograde. Then three kind of shocking reveals, or perhaps arguments, because Eris is right there, and Uranus is in fire. So here I am at an astrology conference, which is a Uranian thing, and there's been some shocking fire stuff going on. Last week I received an email from someone telling me that they'd been a listener for 20 years. I haven't been an astrologer for that long, so I haven't been a listener for 20 years, but that I had made a joke. I thought it was a joking reference to having an oil spill off Mar-a-Lago, but they felt I was encumbered by hate and had been taken over by hate and wasn't working for the higher good of the planets, and pretty mean email, and then they were never going to listen to me again. And I'm kind of like, okay, so maybe I got taken over by hate, but you sure look like you did too. So you want to watch that Mercury, because people are just fiery. They're fire, little firecrackers. And, of course, Mars is in Gemini, which makes it very much our issue, because Mars in Gemini is a little bit of sibling rivalry there. There's a little bit of, remember when you were fighting with your sibling? I don't know if you did, but there were three of us. So when you were in the back seat, you know, there were the seat markers, and then the middle part of the seat did not look big enough for a butt. It wasn't. And you'd say, get your butt off of my line. You're on my line. And, and tell them to move over. And, Mom, they're on my line. Your parents are in the front seat going, please, how long is this trip going to last? So we're very Mercury, sibling rivalry, sharp words, competition. You know, just kind of watch for it. Or unexpected words that you didn't really see coming. Maybe a little shocking. Somebody says something to you and you go, wow, that was a little shocking, or they say something to you and it's a little envious, because your Eris is right there, and she's the goddess of envy, and she's envious because she's left out, or she's envious because she's included, but she's not included in the way she wants to be, or she's just mad, she's in the mood to have a fight. So our job with this week, because we got another week of it, because Mercury has to clear Uranus. And so anyway, just kind of know, when you hear these little harsh words coming, and of course it is Uranus, so there's a desire to end the relationship, or there's a desire to blow the relationship up. It isn't always what they're actually saying to you. It can be from another source, right? Because Uranus and Eris are surrounding Mercury and besieging him. Right, so, imagine you're in a bar and you're fighting with people. First you punch Eris, then you punch Uranus, and you make your escape. But really, it's all about the trine to Saturn. Because over there in the corner, Saturn is trine to Mercury, and he is trine to Uranus. And he's saying, perhaps some of these structures need to change. They were structures that
you know, made sense at some point, but maybe not so much anymore. And as the nodes are at the last degree of suffering and sacrifice, Pisces and Virgo, service, service, suffer, suffer, martyr, martyr. Not always, but lower form of maybe we're not supposed to be so martyred anymore. Maybe we're not supposed to suffer quite so much. Maybe we're supposed to kind of look and say, well, okay, some part of me, because I'm irritated about it, is agreeing to this suffering. Now, if you didn't know there was a party you weren't invited to, you wouldn't be upset. But because you know there's a party you weren't invited to, you're upset. Right? You know, it's because you know something, maybe you're not supposed to know it. Or maybe you're supposed to know, or maybe they told you on purpose to make you mad. Well, we're not inviting you to that party. We're going to do it another way. So I have one student who's been having an ongoing discussion with their employer, and they brought in about $500,000 in business for the employer. And the employer has said to them, well, you're in a non-compensated position, meaning they're not going to give her a commission for all the sales she's brought in. Fine. They just hired somebody in a comp position to do it. Person's going to get paid 10% to do it. Not her, but somebody else. See, now that's a little Mercury Uranus in Aries, a little besieged Mercury there. But we're not going to pay you, but you're the one that pioneered the idea and brought us all this money. We're going to pay somebody else. We don't even know if they can sell the thing. So it's that kind of energy. And your job, remember, Mercury's trining Saturn. He's been talking to you about, like, if you're this irritated about this, maybe you need to move on. Maybe you need to go do something else. Now, of course, the heavens never proposes without having an option in place. So this week, on the 9th, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the nodes of fate go in, change signs. And they leave behind suffering and service. They leave behind the Virgo South node and the Virgo North node and the Pisces South node. Suffer, 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 serve, 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 suffer, 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 serve, serve, serve. Which we've been doing for the last 18 months, last year and a half, since November of 15. And now the nodes, and I want you to hear that was postnasal drip, not gluten. Now the nodes go into Leo and Aquarius. So the north node's going from Virgo into Leo, and the south node's going from Pisces into Aquarius. And they're going to be there 18 months, a year and a half, until November of 18. Now, when the node, and I'm having, on Wednesday, I'm having a webinar on the nodal change, because it's big. It happens once every year and a half, and it's directing our life. It's the direction our life takes as the nodes move through the zodiac. It takes them 19 years to go around the cycle. So if you're coming up on a 19th anniversary, been with somebody 19 years, 17 and a half years, this is when the nodes shift. And they say, okay, time for a new story, time for a new direction. What's your passion? What do you love? How do you want to do it? Because as they move into Leo, they say, well, what is it you actually love? And why are you staying in this besieged situation with the goddess of discord and Uranus, who clearly don't appreciate you and are being mean to you? And why don't you go off and do your own thing, North Node in Leo, do the thing that makes you shine, you know, and go do it. And, of course, Saturn's trining that north node. And Cupido, which is a trans-Neptunian planet, which we look at sometimes, and Cupido is finding your new tribe. And then, of course, Uranus and Mercury are in a grand trine to that Leo north node. So there's an invitation this week to leave things behind. Now, remember, we're still clearing Venus's shadow. We're doing that until she gets to 15, which happens on the 20th, I think, yep. And we're still in Mercury's retrograde shadow. We're in the shadow, so we're still working those lessons. So pay attention to who you hear from. So yesterday I heard from someone I hadn't talked to, I'd say probably about 2 or 3 years. And she called with some information that was sad. But then we got, you know, then we got gossiping. Because we used to be together in a house on Fire Island. We lived in the same house for 7 years in the summers. And it was my group share when I was in my 20s. So we kind of caught up on, you know, who knew what about who was left in the house. And there was one guy we hadn't heard, you know, he's like, yeah, he moved to Chicago. What happened to him? So I got on the internet and I Googled him and sent him a note. And I got a note right back. Hi, yeah, I'm turned 70 and I'm retired and I'm da-da-da. What's new with everybody else? So it's kind of also remember to talk to your ghosts. Remember to talk to your pleasures from earlier times if they call you. So the ghosts, you can still hear from your ghosts through the end of the month, and you can still hear from your pleasures through the end of the month. And he was a really interesting guy. He worked at a big law firm in New York, transferred to Chicago, so he left our house and moved off to Chicago. But he also, he said something really funny once that, you know, they had a very, very wealthy client who you would know the name of. And that, you know, the guy was incredibly wealthy. He said, but, you know, he's, like, incredibly stupid. So it means you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to be smart to have a lot of money. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like, never really thought about the correlation between intelligence and money. But in this case, this was a person who had a lot of money who wasn't particularly smart. And their law firm was kind of responsible for helping take care of that money because he wasn't particularly smart and he tended to like to spend it. Clearly an inherited law firm and inherited money, but still money, you know. And so that was also, he was an interesting guy. So anyway, heard from him, and we're all, catching up in the world. So that is, watch for your ghost to reappear, or even the ghosts you haven't heard from in a year, and you reach out and find them on the Internet, because the Internet's a wonderful search device. And so we have this lovely nodal change. Now, when the node shifts into Leo, and I'm going to spend an hour and a half, 2 hours on it on Wednesday if you come to the webinar, the node shifts is going to ask us all to start doing what we love. Enough of the suffering and sacrifice. It's time for us to do our path. And our job is really going to really kick up. And remember, whatever house is Leo in your chart, whatever houses, because sometimes there's two, sometimes there's three houses that have Leo in them, that's where you're supposed to do your work and where you're supposed to shine in this lifetime. The work is the degree, the sign of the sun. You know, you're a Capricorn, you're supposed to do Capricorn things. You're a Scorpio, you're supposed to do Scorpio things. But you're supposed to express it in the house ruled by Leo. So that house is now suddenly going to wake up because the node goes in it. Boom, 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 you're going to feel it on the 9th and going to be in there for a year and a half. And it's going to invite each of us to do our heart's path. That is why we are here. All the other stuff is distraction, delay, you know, stuff to get you off path. So this week we're having a course correction, and you might have it by someone being snarky to you, like I did with my little friend last week, who even said, and it's not about the gluten either. You know, so I'm like, oh, wow, you're just the nasty thing. And I was like, maybe you caught a little of that hate running around. Remember, Eris is the goddess of hate and discord. I'm doing a presentation on her at 11:15, and I was updating it this morning. And she's been having nice aspects. The only one that she's been really arguing with, if you can call it that, is Uranus. But she's been really causing more explosions and excitement. Where do you see what this girl gets up to in a couple of years when she squares Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter? You know, she's pretty feisty. So we're getting to know her now, and we're getting to know that when someone says something to you that's a little sharp, a little besieged, that makes you maybe feel a little bad, or you look at that and go, wow, there's a little envy in there, then what you want to do is kind of go, okay, I get the envy, I get the discord, now what do I want to do about it? And I would suggest, you know, you don't have to do it, but I would suggest you take the high road. And you kind of go, okay, time to take the high road, but what is my heart's path? And that's where I'm going to head off to, because that's where the high road is. What's my heart's path? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Giving it that permission will help you really roll quickly, okay? Well, let's get on to the moons. Grab your moon calendars. We've got a couple of moons. Now, this week also has a lot of Mars energy in it. And remember, Mars is in Gemini. And he's answering to that besieged Mercury, trapped between Eris and Uranus, the goddess of discord, and Uranus, the planet of castration, separation, and change. Of course, evolution and consciousness. And there are some people who like to think of Uranus as being Prometheus, the fire bringer. He enlightens, he illuminates. But Mars is in Gemini, which can go both ways, right? Gemini's got a little sibling rivalry thing there, which is kind of what's been going on here at the conference, because there's a big astrology conference coming called UAC, United Astrology Conference, and it gets all these big organizations together to throw a big party, which is next May, May 18th, and it affects the little conferences because they're you know, they're tired of having the big conference. So one of the little conference people said, yeah, I want to strangle you, Eck. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty passionate. But it definitely affects the smaller conferences' draw because people save their money for a big one. You know, vacation time is limited. Conference money is, you know, it's a budget item, but it's not necessarily something you run off to bunches of conferences for. At any rate, it was kind of like, oh, I never heard anybody want to strangle UHEC before, but I get it. I get it. It takes away money from their bottom line, from the smaller regional conferences. So, and it's a party that happens, last time it happened was in 12, so it's every 6 years. So it was every 4 years, but they didn't get it together this time. So, so watch for the sibling rivalry this week, because a lot of Mars energy, and he's in the sign of Gemini siblings, and he's in the sign of envy, because he's sitting right next between Eris and Uranus. So people are going to say things to you, and you're going to go, should you be telling me that? That sounds a little envious. It sounds like you're a little jealous there. And they are. And it's okay. You know, when I was young, my mother used to go, ooh, sounds like the green-eyed monster. So I'm very good when the green-eyed monster comes up, because it doesn't everybody. I kind of go, ooh, the green-eyed monster's up. Now let me look at what I'm green-eyed about, right? And see if that's something I'm really green-eyed about or if that is something that I'm being provoked to or I'm just feeling bad in the moment. So this week's got a little bit of that. You know, you want to kind of watch when you're feeling a little bad and somebody says something a little sharp-mouthed to you. Or when you're feeling bad and you want to say something sharp-mouthed, you know, just notice it, honor it, observe it, and understand it's, you know, the opposite of hate is not love. The opposite of that is I don't care. You know, when people are still getting divorced and they're still fighting and all that old stuff, and I'm like, well, when that's going to be over, because that's when the divorce is really over. So I talked to a client last week. She's like, when am I going to stop feeling like this? And I said, well, you got to put it down. You know, you can carry it around the rest of your life, but if you don't put it down, you're going to keep carrying it around. And we forget that that's what happens, that that's how it works. We have to put it down. We can't carry it. And so this week, as the aspects shift, the nodes shift, I invite you to put down your martyrdom and where you've been feeling picked on and like being taken advantage of and being of service, and embrace the vision of what you want to do instead. Well, if you don't want to do that, what would you like to do instead? How do you want to be honored? How do you want to be seen? How do you want to create? How do you want to express your heart's path? What is that? Go do that. Don't pay attention to what they're not giving to you. Pay attention to what you want to go get. That's how we do it. We shift the dynamic. We shift the argument. Remember, when we change, you know, about 90% of stuff is framing it. When we change the argument, we get a different perspective. So let's all work on changing our vision and our argument this week, our vision and our understanding of what our perspective is. Reframe, refocus. Come up with a new plan. Say, well, I don't want to do that. You don't want to give that to me? Okay, fine, then I'm going to go do this instead. You don't have to play. You don't have to stay. You're a free agent. Don't go complaining and say, no, you got to change. They're not going to change. They're going to do what they want. And that's the way it is. So you don't have to stay. You can play and do something else. That's okay, too. That's pretty cool. All right, so today the moon's in Libra, the 7th, and it's today's Sunday, and it's going to be in Libra tomorrow, too. With a closing aspect at 7 o'clock, but sextile to Saturn. So today and tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, really good days for getting stuff done. The moon is void on Monday night until from 7 o'clock on, and it goes into Scorpio at 1:01 a.m. in the morning, Tuesday morning. Remember, these are Eastern times, adjust for your time zone. So Tuesday it's in Scorpio, Wednesday it's in Scorpio, and it goes void at 5:42 p.m. on Wednesday with a separating aspect. Sun opposite moon. Now that day there also is the Mercury Uranus part 3. So if somebody can say something to you pretty snarky that makes you separate on Tuesday or Wednesday, it makes you go, oh, so that's how you feel about it, eh? You also are having the Sun in the sign of Taurus trining Pluto in the sign of power. So you can watch on Tuesday for some power dynamics that make you go, I don't think I want to play with this person anymore. And then thus you leave as of Wednesday night. Thursday, so Wednesday night from 5:42 p.m. on is void, and then Thursday morning until 12:59, which is right before 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the moon is void in Scorpio with hard separating aspects. Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and then Friday, and then all day Saturday, the moon is in Sag. And the moon is in Sag with Mercury. The closing aspect is moon trine Mercury. Okay, so Sagittarius moon is a visionary moon. Mercury in Aries is now separated from his besiegement. He did that on Tuesday. And now he's like, okay, based on being captured in the castle, I now know the plan. Because he's been besieged. And he's now going to be talking and saying, okay, let's get this done to the moon and Sag. And the moon and Sag, of course, meets up with a lot of the other planets in the course of his journey and gives them information. Right before he meets up with Mercury, he meets up with Saturn. So it talks a lot about Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, a lot about restructuring your vision. And then on Saturday night at 10:15 p.m., the moon goes void with the moon trine Mercury, and then on the 14th, the moon enters Capricorn on Sunday, and it's in Capricorn Sunday, Monday, and it goes void with a square to Uranus. So Sunday, Monday are separating aspects, the 14th and the 15th. So it's got an interesting energy this week. The beginning of the week, Monday's nice, Tuesday, Wednesday, mean, separating, breakup, sad, depressed, crabby, full moon in Taurus, Scorpio too, on top of it, on that Wednesday night, and then Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, making a plan, moving on into new directions. The daily aspects mimic that too, so let's do those now. So we have this journey that we're on, and we have a couple of plans. You know, we talked already about the nodes changing signs. They change on May 9th at 2:30 in the afternoon. You will feel it. It's really interesting. These are big shifts. When it shifts from Pisces, water, and earth into air and fire, it's like it gets lighter, and it feels like, you know what, why am I wasting my time on this? You know, it's kind of like, you know, those happy songs, the sun will come out tomorrow, or I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. You know, you get this kind of burst of energy that makes you move forward. Also on May 9th, on the same day that the nodes shift, the partnership planet Juno stations to go retrograde at 18 Capricorn. So she's been traveling very closely with Pluto, and the two of them are, you know, transformational partnerships is the way I think of them. So they've been forming all sorts of transformational partnerships in different places, you know, whether it's Donald Trump's partnership with Paul Ryan, or it's whatever, your partnership to get something done, or working on projects or stuff. So that shifts and kind of slows down a little as of May 9th. Some of the partnerships that we're in, we start to say, now what's going to happen is Juno is going to continue to track with Pluto, and because Pluto's going retrograde too. So the two of them are going to continue to travel together, but now they're going to be revising some of their partnerships. So I had talked to somebody a couple of weeks ago about starting something, and, you know, we are in the process of getting it up and going. Great, you know, so this is the time to work on the vision of the partnership, to understand where the partnership needs to change or create on a different level. And then Mars is really busy this week. excuse me, going on, which we'll talk about in a second. But he is also, because he is in Gemini, there are going to be choices you're going to face. You have a couple of options. So your job is to say, well, what's my option here and what's my option there? Do not feel you don't have choice. What will happen is there might be somebody yelling at you, because Mercury is in Aries, saying this is the only choice you have. And I remember when Jennifer Nettles broke up with the guy in Sugarland, right? Sugarland, whatever their group was, and she came on stage as a solo, and she said, you know, whenever someone tells you you can't do something without them, just know you can. And, you know, in a lot of applause and stuff, she says, no, I really think it's important, because a lot of times you can get into, and she did a little riff on it, you can get into a relationship or you can get into a situation where you're told, without me you're nothing, or you can't do this without me. She says, I want you to know that is not true. Don't believe them. Try it anyway. And so there's a lot of that going on this week. A lot of energy around, well, you can't do this without me, and people, or whatever the snarky Mercury is going to say. And your job is to go, yeah, I can. You know, they're totally, it's my life. I get to decide how I want to do it. And don't give up. Don't fold. Give yourself permission to go for it. So the sun this week goes from 17, I'm running out of time too easily, fast show. 17 Taurus, 23 Taurus, got a trine to Pluto on May 9th, which is about embracing the power. And then it has a number of biquintiles to Jupiter and Saturn, the same planet that Mars is going to be playing with, and Cupido. So I want you to take some time. We remember Venus is in Aries, and she's cleared her shadow. She's cleared her retrograde, but she's still in her shadow. So all the lessons you've been learning since January, I want you to sit down with that little Taurus sun and have a chat and say, Taurus sun, what did we learn? We've learned all these things. What do we want to create next? Biquintiles are highly creative aspects. So the sun is biquintile to Jupiter on the 10th. It's biquintile to Saturn on the 11th. It's biquintile to Cupido, your new tribe, on the 12th. And it's biquintile to Zeus on the 14th. So it's got a lot of energy behind it. Plus, it has the trine to Pluto. So really kind of focus on the vision. And Taurus doesn't necessarily like to change things, the foundation. It believes the foundation's important. But this is a week when you want to give it permission to shift. Mercury, of course, is flying from 24 Aries to 29 Aries. And he zips across Uranus on the 10th. Trines Saturn on the 11th, and he aspects the nodes of fate on the 14th. So Mercury's making connections for you, inviting you to try in something else, and of course the shocking news or whatever it is you hear on May 10th, which makes you go, wow, I didn't, or May, it could be May 9th too. Remember, it doesn't have to be right on the day. And because Mercury is besieged, you know, there may be this little shout-out energy that actually happens if he pulls away. He's got to get 2 degrees away from these guys. Before he's actually clear. So that's not this week. It's next week he's finished with this. So there could be shocking news all week. And just know that that's part of what Mercury's giving you to help you make your decisions. He does have a semi-square to Neptune on the 14th, which indicates a little bit of stress around whatever it is he thinks he wants to do. Remember, this is a lifetime project. You do not have to do this tomorrow. You just have to start moving towards it today. Venus is in Aries, and she's moved from 5 to 10 this week, and she has a parallel to Chiron on the 10th. So remember, whatever that snarky word is that they say, it's something that hurts your feelings, right? They say it on purpose. They want to be mean. They're interested in being mean. So I got that mean email, and I'm like, this guy's in the mood to be mean to me. Okay, cool. Not my fault. He misinterpreted what I said and accused me of all sorts of things. It's like that's his vision of who I am. Is that my vision of who I am? No. And why, right? So Mars, Gemini, two sides to every story. Real important to remember this week. And also, when someone says something to you, can you know, lean forward and say, can you repeat that? I'm not sure I understood what you meant. Because they may mean it mean, they may just be operating from a snarky place, they may be jealous. And with Mars square Neptune this week, you're not going to know. So you want to clarify, most important, deception abounds. Now, a lot of times, you know, we have these deceptive things to get us mad, so we leave, and then we're good. So honor that that's going on. And then Mars is trine to Jupiter. Which is a lot about the abundance and the creative and pushing it forward. That's on May 12th. So Mars is active this week, running through the 12s and 16s. Jupiter not so busy, but he does have an opposition to Pallas Athena on the 10th, allowing you to see patterns you hadn't seen before. And he has a difficult aspect to the nodes of fate on the 12th that say, hey, you know, maybe the choices you made are not ones you need to stick with. Maybe it's better to revise the choices. Saturn and Uranus both are having aspects to Lilith this week, which is asking people to be subservient. Subservience is not going to be popular. So just know that you're going to, when you run into people and you say, well, I think you should serve me, they're going to go, stuff an egg. I'm not going to serve you. It's 25-26 for Uranus. is Neptune is squaring Lilith on the 12th at 13 Pisces, and then Pluto has an aspect to Lilith at 19 semi-square. So Lilith is active. People are not in the mood to be subservient. Don't even ask them. They're going to give you a hard time. And Pallas Athena on the 10th sees patterns she does not like to see. So we have to honor that she's not in the mood to see that. It doesn't mean she doesn't see it, but it might mean she might not want to know about it. And she might say, you know what, I don't really want to know about that. And, you know, when you're, there's that whole thing, like, you kind of know, but you don't know because you haven't asked. But then when you ask, then you know because they told you. You know, this is one of those weeks where you're going to find out things you don't want to know. But you need to know about them to make informed decisions, which is why Mercury and Venus are conspiring to reveal things to you. When they get revealed, believe what you see. Okay? Very important week to believe what you see. You're going to be seeing some interesting stuff. And on that note, the radio show is over. I'm going to hang up and wish you all a great week and have a wonderful time.
Bye-bye.